Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, I got a message for you. I want to read. Are you ready this time? All right. Pastor Devon left me hanging last service. I wanted to read something out of the Message Bible. Turn over your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Who's ready for some good news? Good news. I said something in the service we just had. I just want to repeat it for you because it was good. You know what? You're not going to have a breakdown. You're going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. That's the message that God has for us today. If you won't quit, you won't quit, you won't have a breakdown, you'll have a breakthrough. So many people are headed for a breakdown, but we're saying no to that. Say no.
No.
Say no like you mean it.
No.
No. Say no like somebody's giving asparagus for dessert. No.
No.
No. That's not right. That just is not right.
Uh-huh.
That's wrong. Mm-hmm. We need to say no to a breakdown. We're going to have a breakthrough. And I believe with all of my heart, I don't like to travel. I don't like to travel. I do not like to fly that much. But, you know, when the Lord said go to Africa, I went. And I was like, Lord, okay, I will go. I will go. But, you know, I believe that I went there to just have the time to get the word for our church. Amen? Now, some great things happened over there, praise God. But I believe I came back with a word for our church. And that is, we're not going to break down, we're going to break through. Amen? I'm tired of seeing people break down. I'm tired of seeing finances break down, marriages break down, families break down, jobs break down, cars break down. Everything breaks down. We need a breakthrough, right? And so I got a word for you that's going to help us get there. So Romans chapter 11, verse number 29, I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible. This is not part of my message. This is free. This is a freebie.
Watch out.
Write this down. I stumbled on this, and I was like, man, that is some powerful word of God right there. Romans 11, 29, the last part of it says this. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded.
Amen.
Isn't that good? God's gifts and God's calling are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. Now, here's why. How many have ever bought a new car? Anybody? How many want to buy a new car? There you go. One of the main reasons we want to buy a new car is, one, it's new, and it has a warranty. If a car has a warranty, no matter what goes wrong with it, what do? You take it back where you got it. You say, this car is under warranty. This is squeaking. This isn't working. Blah, blah, blah. They fix it. It doesn't cost you any money, and you go. You know, God says that we are under warranty. I'm under warranty. You're under warranty. That means that whatever is broken, whatever is not working, whatever is squeaking, whatever needs repaired, you just need to go back to the maker and say, I'm under warranty. I got a head-to-toe warranty. Fix what's broken. Isn't that good news? That means that no matter what, you're under warranty. How many have ever just fallen into a ditch? How many have ever just gotten pushed into one? How many have ever just felt like you were in the pits, right? You're just in a pit. Doesn't matter how you got there, whether you got pushed in there, you fell in there, or you were just stupid, right? That's how I got in mine. I was just stupid. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many bumps, bruises, breaks, broken hearts you have, you're under warranty. Doesn't matter how banged up you get, God will fix you. God will fix you. You know, you know what we do? If you don't have a warranty on your car, here's what you do. The engine light comes on, but you don't have any money. It's not under warranty, so what do? You just keep driving it. You know you do. You just keep driving it and pretending, oh, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. You know, smoke's coming out. It's fine. It'll be fine. That comes on all the time. But it's not working right. The car doesn't work right. You know what? That's what we do with our lives so often. Something isn't working right. So many people have broken hearts. Because of how you were raised, because of hurt that you endured as a child, because of words that were spoken, whatever the reason is, your heart is broken. And you have never taken yourself in for service. So then no matter what relationship you're in, you just keep bringing that hurt, keep bringing that pain, keep bringing that mess. And then you keep saying, well, it must be you, it must be you, it must be you. No, honey, it's you. You need service. You need to drive into the service and say, my engine light is on, my heart doesn't work right. Because I've been hurt, I can't love anybody, and I won't let anybody love me. When people get close to me, I push them away or I turn viciously mean. Sound like anybody you guys know? Maybe a neighbor or a friend, right? Your engine light is on. You need to remember you're under warranty. Go back to your maker and say, this doesn't work. Can you fix me? And you know what? God will fix you.
Every time.
Every time. Doesn't matter how you got the way you are. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. Doesn't matter how many times it's happened. Your warranty is non-cancelable. It never ends. It is not rescinded. It will never not be. God will always fix you. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's such good news. So look at your neighbor and say, your engine light is on. Your engine light is on. You need to go in for some service. You need to go. And you know what? We all do. We all need to go in for some service. Because how many, you know, I say this all the time. Life is a contact sport. You're going to take hits. And hits hurt. And you know what? When you get hit, you're all out of whack, out of balance. You need to go back in and say, Lord, I need some warranty work. I need some service. And God's going to help you. He's going to heal you. He's going to help you. He's going to restore that which the enemy has tried to steal from you. Because that's just how good God is. Only good and perfect things come from God. We've got His word on it, right? All right. Well, that's all free. Let's get to my message. We could go home now and say we had church, though, right? So when you feel like your engine light is on, what are you going to do? You're going to go in for service. You're going to go right in. Doesn't matter. You know, so often we're like, oh, I can't go because it was my fault. I swore I'd never do it again. It doesn't matter. God knows, and He still says you're under warranty. Amen. Anyway, God will never turn you away. Doesn't matter how you got the way you are. God will help you. God will help you. Oh, I'm so grateful. I don't know about you, but I need some work done. Anybody in here need some work done? I'll raise two hands. I need a lot of work. All right, here we go. Turn over to Matthew 14. I've been stuck here for about a month, really. In Matthew 14, I've preached out of this many times, but every time I always get something new. But I got good news for you. Good news. How many ready for a breakthrough?
Come on.
A breakthrough. The secret to a breakthrough is right here. It's right here in His Word. We just got to listen. So here we go. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse number 13. Now this is right. This is the feeding of the 5,000. Probably most of us in here have heard this story, but if you haven't, it's a really good one. And it's truth. This really happened. Amen? Really happened. And so here we go. This is right after John the Baptist, which was Jesus' friend, he was beheaded. So Jesus is, you know, he's pretty sad about this. And so the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, in verse number 13, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. So his friend had just been murdered, just been beheaded, his head literally served on a platter. And so Jesus was mourning, and he tried to get away by himself. But, you know, something else happened. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Hey, say, that's the God I serve. Amen? That's the God I serve right there. Verse number 15, it says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. So how many can see here, let's just stop for a second, that let's get a picture of what's happening. There's multitudes of people, that's at least 5,000 people, and so Jesus is healing the sick. The disciples come in the midst of all of this, and they say, you know, hey, it's getting late. There's a lot of people here that need to be fed. They've got to eat. Let's call it a night. Let's call it a day. Let's send them away and call it a day. And if we're not careful, we'll have that same kind of attitude. We got to make sure that we're going to break through and not stop when something's good is happening. Amen? And so here Jesus is. He's healing everybody. And the disciples come and say, let's just call it a day. Verse number 16, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Verse number 17, and they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse number 18, underline this, he said, bring them here to me. And so let's just see, because you know, whenever you read the Bible, you want to see yourself in it. because the Bible is speaking to you. And so we may not be with a bunch of multitudes and have to feed them, but there are things in our life where there is a need and it seems too big for what we have. Anybody ever been there? Because they had, there was over 5,000 people there. They all needed to eat. And so when Jesus said, "You give them something to eat," the disciples immediately looked at what they had and they thought, "This is not enough." You ever look at what you have and say, "This is not enough"? You know, when God calls you to do something, I can even have a tendency to say, "You know what? I'm not enough." Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Are you sure me? Right? Does anybody else ever do that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if a financial need that you have, you look at your pile of bills and you look at what you have and you say, "This is not enough." When your family's going crazy and you seem like you're the only one who has any sense, but you look at your family and you think, "I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I can't do this with what I have." That's what they were saying. They were saying, we can't feed this multitude with what we have. And maybe, and I know in our lives, you know, God has a big call on our church. He's got, you know, there for that one village, there are thousands and thousands of villages like that. With little kids who don't get any medical attention. You know, it was so sad, and I immediately thought of Sue, and I thought, man, I got to get Sue over here, you know? Because we've done medical missions before here in the States, but, you know, the little kids were coming up, and some of them obviously had something wrong with them. They had a skin problem or not to bring you down, but, you know, just some stuff, you know? And you're just like, wow, there's no doctors there. There's no doctors. You know, Reverend Daniel wants to build a clinic because I'll tell you how it is over there. You know, we want to complain about our health care. Let me tell you how it is over there. His sister was sick. They took her to the hospital. She didn't have any money. He's on the phone with the doctor saying, "I'm on the way with the money. Please give her the medicine." They wouldn't. Because she didn't have the money. He's on the phone, in the car, driving, begging them, "Please, I'm on the way." They let her die right there. Isn't that sad? That's not right. We need to shout aloud no to that. No, that's not right. So when I saw those little kids and I thought, man, We've got people in our church. We've got Sue. Sue's like medical genius. Amen? I probably shouldn't have told everybody now. Don't go asking her to look at stuff, all right? She's off the clock right now. She's off the clock. But I thought, we need to come back here. We need to come back here with buckets and buckets of medicine and teachers to help teach these kids. But, you know, the thing is that if we're not careful, we'll be like the disciples and say, "Listen, this is all we have. What good is that going to do? All we have are five loaves of bread and two fish. What's that going to do?" But here's the most important part. When Jesus said, they don't need to go away, we don't need to be looking for everybody else to solve the world's problems. We need to look at what we can do. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And then when they told him what they had, here's what we want to hear. Jesus said, bring them to me. If everything we just do through Jesus, we're going to have enough.
Amen.
We may not be able to change the whole world, but God has called us to change part of it.
Amen.
Amen? We may not be able to go to every village, but let's go to at least one. Amen. We may not be able to do a whole ton of stuff, but let's do what we can. Because I don't know about you, but I think between all of us, we can rustle up five loaves of bread and two fish. Right? We can do that. And if we'll take that and give it to Jesus, let's see what happens. Here we go. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Let's quit looking for everybody else to meet the need and say, I'll do it. Amen. Here we go. He said, bring them here to me. Verse number 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So when we give Jesus what we have, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give it back, but he's going to give it back blessed. And you know what the word blessed means? It means empowered to prosper. We get the word provision from the same place we get prosper. When we give what we have to Jesus, he's going to make it what we need.
Amen.
But we got to give it to him. We got to not be like the disciples. They were ready, just a couple of verses above, they were ready to say, let's call it a day. Let's just call it a day. There are too many people here to eat. There is too much going on. Let's call it a day. We got to be careful that we don't call it a day before God has an opportunity to really do something amazing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got some things in my life. I want to see some amazing stuff happen. How many people want to see something amazing happen in your marriage? Amazing happen with your kids? Amazing happen on your job? Amazing happen through your hands? You want to do something for God? Don't call it a day before God's finished. Amen. Don't call it a day before you give God an opportunity to take what you have and bless it, give it back to you, and you do something amazing. This wasn't a breakdown. It was a breakthrough. And God has a breakthrough for all of us. God's not into breakdowns. You ever notice that? He's not into that because he knows that there's no reason for you to break down because you've got him on the inside of you. There's no reason for you to say, I can't. I am so tired of people saying, I can't handle this. I just can't deal with this. I just want to smack people that say that and say, well, who do you think's going to deal with it then? Who do you think's going to take care of it? It's your life. You've got to deal with it. You can't put your head in the sand. Because what I always say when your head's in the sand, what's sticking up? You feel like you're getting your butt kicked all the time? It might be because it's sticking up. Amen? You need to get your head out of the sand and say, all right, let's deal with this God's way. Amen? Let's deal with this God's way. Let me give God what I've got and let him do something amazing. And that's what he did here. He did something none of those disciples expected. And you know what? God wants to do something in your life that nobody expects. You know, God doesn't call great people. God makes people who choose him great. Amen. You ever notice that? All the people that God chose in the Bible, they all had hang-ups. They all had problems. Look at your neighbor and say, all right. There's hope for you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. God doesn't choose great people. God makes people who choose him great. Amen? All right, let's see what happens here. So after they gave Jesus what they had, he said, bring them here to me. He took it. He gave it back to the disciples. Who's God going to use to change the world? He's going to use you. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. And so then in verse number 20, it says, so they all ate. God doesn't leave anybody out. So they all ate and were filled, and then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. You know what? God's got leftovers. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So how many know there was a whole bunch of people there? And so, you know, sometimes we can read these and we can say, well, that's just a story. No, this is an event. Amen? This is an event. This really happened. God still does miracles.
Amen.
He still does miracles. You say, well, I don't see anybody getting fed like that. It still happens. There's a story of a guy in England. I was with Lois for 2 weeks. Lois has more stories than you could possibly even imagine. But I love every one of them, and I she's just amazing. She's going to be here in a few weeks to teach. I think she's one of the best Bible teachers in the world. But anyway, she's got a story for everything. So she was telling a story. This is a couple years ago. She told this about a man in England, and he ran an orphanage. And this was back before social programs and things like that. And so he had an orphanage, and one day there's no food for all the kids. There's about 300 kids there, and they all need to eat. And so this story goes that the man, he loved the Lord, he was full of faith, and he prayed and he told all the kids to sit down for lunch. And so the workers were coming and saying, but there's no food. We have no food and no money. And he said, the Lord will provide. And he told them all to sit down for lunch. And so as they were sitting there, it's a true story, you can look it up. As they were sitting there, they heard a crash. And so they went out, and there was a bread truck. How many have heard this story? There's a bread truck there. The truck wasn't damaged in any way. It had just kind of run over a big rock or something. And so the driver of the truck got out and said, I can't get to where I'm going. Do you have any need for all this bread? All the kids were able to eat. and they had leftovers. God provides. Amen. God's still in the miracle working business. He still works miracles. And so when you read things in the Bible, make sure you don't tune out and say, well, that's just a story. No, that's real. Amen. That really happened. And so let's keep going here. All right, now we're getting a real good part here. Verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. What I want you to notice here is that God did not send the multitude away. Jesus didn't send them away until they had what they needed. Jesus will never send you away. Amen? They had what they needed. He'll never send people away hungry. He'll never send people away sick. Jesus healed them. He fed them. And then it was time to call it a day. So here we go. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Who's them? The disciples. He went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. How many know that would freak you out if somebody's walking on the water, right? It'd be weird. And so here we go. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." All right, fasten your pew belt. This is gonna get good. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did Peter walk on the water? Yeah. Yes. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, we've all heard this. We've all heard this story. And so often, the way that we look at it where Peter was looking at the waves, and then he began to sink, and it's all about don't doubt, right? Isn't that how we've all preached it and heard it before? But what I want us to see is this. Peter walked on the water. Amen. Has anybody here walked on the water? Not yet. Peter walked on the water, and then the Bible says he was beginning to sink. He did not sink. You know, people, like, you see it on TV, and Peter's totally in the water, and he's struggling like he can't swim. He's a fisherman, first of all. And, you know, but that's not how it happened. It says, and beginning to sink. That means his feet were probably going under. And the Bible says immediately Jesus was there. And what I want us to see there is Jesus will not let you go under.
Amen.
He will not let you go under. But here's what I want us to grab a hold of, all right? How many got some things that you know God has called you to do? You've got some stuff that needs a dose of miracle-working God power on it. Anybody? Raise both hands. You know you need to. Both hands. Raise your feet. I mean, I need it, right? You know, so often we're like, "Oh, I don't have enough," or blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith. Look what was able to be done with just a little faith." With just a little bit of faith, Peter walked on the water. And so often, all we want to talk about is he saw the waves, he saw this, he sunk. Let's talk about what he did. He did something amazing with just a little bit of faith. So the next time you need God to show up in a big way, and you think, "Oh, I don't have enough faith," remind yourself of this. Every one of us has faith. It took faith for you to get born again in the first place. The next time you question how much faith you have, remind yourself of this. You believe in someone you've never seen with your eyes. You believe something happened that you weren't there to witness. You believe that God sent his only son down to this earth and was born through a virgin named Mary. You have faith. Amen? You believe that. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he was dead. He was so dead, the Romans checked to make sure he was dead. He was dead. But you believe that after 3 days, he walked out of the tomb. Amen. Next time you act like you don't have any faith, remind yourself of what you believe. It takes faith to believe that. and you believe it. You have faith. You don't need something new. You need something true. The Word of God is true, and you can do great things with just a little bit of faith. You can do amazing things if you give what you have to God and let Him bless it and say, I'll do it, Lord. Whatever you have me to do, I'll do. You can do amazing things. Instead of saying you're getting ready for a breakdown, say, no, I'm going to have a breakthrough. Just like Peter, that boat was rocking and rolling, but he had enough faith to get out. He had enough faith to know that God would take care of him. And you know, it's so funny at the end there. Let's read this in verse number 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They had just seen, these same people had just seen him heal the sick, had just seen him feed 5,000 people with one little boy's lunch, but he walked on water, and now they're ready to say, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen? What's it going to take for you to say that? Let's just cut to the chase and say, Lord, truly, you are the Son of God. And let's remember that some things seem overwhelming. The world seems so overwhelming right now. Every channel you turn on, something tragic is happening. Countries are at war. Children are being harmed and abused, and it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. And the truth of the matter is, it is getting worse. Because the Bible says in the last days, the darkness will get darker. But it also says, and the light will get lighter. Who's the light? We are. God is looking for us to quit looking at the problems as being overwhelming, to quit looking at everything and saying, I can't deal with this, like they did with that lunch. We can't handle this. Let's call it a day. Before you call it a day on your marriage, why don't you give it to God? Before you call it a day on your lost family members, why don't you give it to God? Amen? Before you call it a day on your finances, why don't you give it to God and let God do what God does? Everything that God touches that we give to Him, He always gives it back changed. When you got born again for the first time, you gave your life to Him, and the Bible says that you were on your way to darkness, you were without hope, you were life filled with sin, but you said yes to Jesus, you gave your life to Him, and Colossians says that now we've been translated out of darkness into light. We've been changed. He took your life and all of its screw-ups and mess-ups, He took it and He changed it. And He wants to continue doing that every single day. But you got to keep saying, Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Because you know what, really, where's your way gotten you? Nowhere you really want to go, right? Let's be like the disciples and let's do what Jesus, when Jesus says, bring it to me, let's bring it to Him. Instead of holding on to it, saying, no, it won't do any good, it won't do any good. It's going to do all good. Just give it to Jesus. We can look through the Bible at every miracle, what God asked people to do in the natural. It just seems stupid. Why would we fill water pots with water when we need wine? Why would we hit a rock with a stick if we need water? Why would we put a branch into bitter water when we need clean water? Why would we put our foot onto the sea when we need to go across dry ground? Why would we do any of that? Because God said to. And when you do what God tells you to do, you get what you need and more. Amen? Amen? What did Jesus' mother tell the guys at the wedding? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. You ready for a breakthrough? Just live that way. Whatever He tells me to do, I'll do. And it's going to get you out of that breakdown and into a breakthrough. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here. Lord, I know that there are weights and things that are pulling us down and stuff that just seems so overwhelming. Situations in the world, situations in our lives, where, Lord, just really, we're ready to call it a day. But I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than anything we see, feel, or hear. That truly, Lord, with you, all things are possible. So, Father, I pray for every person here that in their life, in areas where it feels like they're ready for a breakdown, that, Lord, they would be reminded of your word, of your truth, of your instructions. And instead of questioning, instead of pulling the covers over their head, that this time we would all say, whatever you have me to do, Lord, I'll do. Because I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm ready for the life you've given me. I'm ready to step up and step out and say, use me, Lord. Use me for those villages. Use me for the lost. Use me for the hurting. Use me to make a difference in this dark world. I'm ready, Lord. Use me. Oh, we thank you, Lord. If you're here today, just with nobody looking around, out of respect for everyone here, if you're here today and you say, Peggy, I know Jesus. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he died on a cross for me to pay for my sins. If that's you and you believe that, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I believe it. I am born again. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm not so sure about that, well, let me encourage you. You don't have to have all the answers to start receiving the benefits. You don't have to have it all figured out. But if you're here today and you say, but I do know this, I need a Savior. I know there's something missing from my life. I know there's an emptiness that nothing seems to be able to fill. I'm gonna try God. I'm gonna let God do it this time. I'm gonna open up my heart to God. I'm gonna open up my heart to the Son of God, to Jesus. You know, you're here today, maybe you've tried everything else, but today, how about saying yes to Jesus? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't need to know how it was done. You just need to know it was done. That Jesus came. Jesus died, and Jesus rose again, all for you. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm going to open up my heart to Jesus. I want to call on his name as my Lord. I want to change my life today. If that's you, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I want to do that today. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I think we're all born again in here, on our way to heaven, shouting the victory. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person here that all this week, that in areas where they need a breakthrough, that, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, give instruction, remind us of truth, and show us which way to go. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. 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 Isn't God good?
All the time.
Now remember, if your service light's on, what do you need to do? Take it in. Go back in and say, Lord, I'm under warranty. Can you fix this for me? And he will. Well, here we go. We're going to receive our offering. What do we say here at BBC? We say we give because we want to, not because we have to. So if you don't want to, we love you, we care about you, but you don't have to give. We only want people who want to give, who trust God with their finances to give today. So let's go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give today with cheerful hearts because we want to, not because we have to or we feel pressure. Lord, we give because we trust you to take care of us. We know that when we give, it shows that we trust you, we honor you, and your word says, prove me now in this, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. Lord, we know that we are blessed to be a blessing. And Father, we give today, trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.